Leprosy, or Hansen's disease, has been largely eliminated in many countries, but it still affects thousands of people in places like Brazil, Angola, and India. Even the U.S. has its fair share of people with leprosy. And Texas is one of the states where most of the cases are reported. While we still know very little about leprosy, there have been great strides in the treatment of the disease. And as KUT's Joy Diaz reports from the Here and Now Contributors Network, life with leprosy is no longer a death sentence.
The image many of us have of leprosy is a biblical one. People disfigured by the disease, losing limbs, and dying in isolation. Few of us imagine what life with leprosy is like today. But for Linda Brown, it's something she deals with on a daily basis. She's a nurse consultant for the state of Texas.
I saw my first Hansen's disease patient in 1968 as a public health nurse in Fort Worth. And I all the time have had patients say to me, "What have I done that is so bad that God is punishing me by giving me leprosy?"
One reason why people are still afraid of the bacteria that causes leprosy is because nobody knows for sure how infection occurs. And when it comes, it can be really bad news if it goes untreated, causing disfiguring sores and nerve damage. There's no vaccine, but 95% of people worldwide are naturally immune to the bacteria. For the rest, there's treatment.
We run one of four clinics here in Texas.
Debbie Mata is one of the few leprosy nurses in the U.S.
One is in Dallas, one is in Houston, here in San Antonio, and in the Harlingen, Texas.
On the day we met, Mata was about to examine James Landolt, a new patient.
Hi.
Hello.
I'm Debbie.
Yes.
How are you?
Fine. How are you? Yes, okay. Now, name, face, and phone number.
Yes, yes. Oh, I can see you're going to get stuck.
Oh, it shouldn't be difficult. There's quite a good AC there.
He's a nurse.
Yes.
Landolt is 82. He recently retired as a nurse. But before that, in his youth, he was in the Navy. Then he became a businessman. In his 40s, he got a degree in botany. And in his 60s, got a degree in nursing. Leprosy patients run the gamut. Doctors Annie Kisselbosch and Lynn Horvat.
You had our oldest. She was 90.
92.
And the youngest referral I had was 6.
Patients can also be wealthy, but the overwhelming majority are poor. Again, Dr. Horvat.
I haven't looked at our numbers, but what I would say is I see more of a demographic association, more with men and more with people who have worked outside their whole entire lives.
Landolt's examination by a host of doctors and nurses lasts about 4 hours.
Nice to meet you. I'm Dr. Kisselbosch. This is Dr. Hamilton.
Hello, sir.
Dr. Hamilton.
Pleasure to meet you.
As Mata told Landolt, he gets poked.
Let me know if I cause any discomfort.
Doctors collect samples by gently shaving off some of his skin from places where the bacteria hides, his knees, elbows, and earlobes. He wears a hospital gown. The band-aids are shaped like big circles. He takes it all in stride.
And you'll have some earrings at the end, and you're wearing a dress already.
I should be the belle of the ball.
Yes, you will be.
The examination includes exhaustive interviews in which the patient needs to recall every place they've ever lived in.
From what year?
Let me see.
In Landolt's case, that means Malaysia, where he visited a friend in a leper colony. He also lived in New York, Europe, all over the world before moving to Texas.
You've been a little place all over where.
Uh-huh. All these trips down memory lane are to try and determine how he got leprosy. That can be hard since the bacteria can lie dormant for decades after you're infected. Did he engage in high-risk behaviors like handling armadillos? Check.
Oh, okay. Well, so that was your
But one day I decided, I think I'll spray one. Golden. And I released it in a ranch way south of Goliad. And I thought, I can just see a cowboy riding along someday, and he sees this gold armadillo. But it never happened.
Scientists haven't been able to determine why some armadillos carry the leprosy bacteria. They also don't know if armadillos transmit the bacteria to humans, or if the bacteria is in the soil and both humans and armadillos get infected. As a botanist, Landolt worked with dirt all the time. That's another risk factor. Linda Brown, the nurse consultant, says there are a couple of reasons why we know so little about leprosy. One, Very few people are affected, so it just doesn't get a lot of attention. 2, the bacteria are sneaky. They don't grow in a lab.
This organism is one that will not grow on artificial culture media, so it's been difficult to study.
Treatment, however, has advanced. A mix of antibiotics during 1 or 2 years will cure most of the 200 new cases we get in the U.S. every year. One continued challenge is that few doctors are able to diagnose leprosy. They miss it completely. It took Landolt about 7 years to figure out that the numbness and dryness in his arm and the numbness in his fingers and toes were due to leprosy. He's not likely to have deformities because the disease has not advanced much.
Okay, thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Landolt just started treatment. If all goes well, by this time next year, he'll be good as new. For Here and Now, I'm Joy Diaz in Austin.
Well, Texas is also dealing with the possibility that more than 750 infants may have been exposed to tuberculosis at a hospital in El Paso. An official at Providence Memorial Hospital said that a woman on the nursing staff tested positive for the illness in August and that she had started showing symptoms as early as last December. The hospital's chief medical officer says 53 employees who came into contact with the woman have already been tested and that none of them has active tuberculosis. But El Paso health officials believe that as many as 750 infants could have been exposed between September 2013 and this past August. The city's Department of Public Health has notified the parents of those children and is offering free TB screenings and treatment. Eric Evans is CEO of the hospital's parent company.
I first of all want to apologize to the families that are affected by this and let you know that as CEO of Providence Memorial Hospital, I and my colleagues take absolutely full ownership of our role in this and making sure that we get this right.
Most of the infants who may have been exposed to TB are already scheduled for testing in the next 3 weeks. All of the babies younger than 6 months are being given preventative medicine. We'll continue to follow this story.